Praise the Lord. You imagine that? You got to stop church so God can do what he wants to do. Amen. You know, I think of it so many times. Like, you know, I have been a worship leader for 25 years, and I'll tell you, one of the hardest things to do is to lead worship, because you can hear people's voices. Come on, get this thing done, and all these things are going on, and you can feel the pressure of the enemy, and it's like, come on, let's just do church and go home, you know, and yet this is God's house. Yes. And sometimes we just need to press and press and press and press through. You know, this week we had a great meeting, saints, here. We had a press meeting. No condemnation if you couldn't make it. We prayed for you, but we enjoyed the presence of God. And the whole idea of pressing in as a church. God's calling us to press the heart of God. He's pressing our heart. And this morning I actually sent everybody an email. How many are getting the emails I send to you? How many would like to that you're not getting them? Just two, okay? That's because everybody, if you're getting the emails, I sent you my whole sermon outline this morning because I don't think I'm going to have any way I'm going to be able to cover all this morning. I got 15 minutes before my alarm goes off in my pocket. But we're going to get some of this done. What's that? Okay. But anyways, this morning I want to talk to you about the great I Am. And using the concept of the Gospel of John. And John, there's two sides of the coin of our God Jesus. He's total humanity, and he's total deity. And the thing that God wants you to understand is God is not about teaching you concepts and principles and sayings and knowledge. Let me tell you this. That's where the Pharisees screwed up. That's where religion screws up. Because we come up with our own concepts, our own principles, and our own limited thinking about what God is. So you've got to have a living, growing relationship with this great I Am. He never intended for us to be religious. He intended us to be relational. And hearing his voice at different points in his life, he's on a different frequency. I just shared that with Mary, that God is on a different frequency than your experiences, than your religious, than your limited knowledge. And I'm finding that in every situation, if I would stop and just tune out what I think is going on, God will begin to tell me what really is going on. Because God knows what's going on this morning better than anybody that's in this place. I'll share with you, last week I kept hitting something. I know I had a couple conversations with some dear guys in our congregation about feelings. But last week I kept hitting this thing about feelings over and over and over. And there was someone in the congregation, I found out yesterday or this week, that really, that was all for them. God was trying to help them. God was speaking to them. And I am amazed at how all of a sudden, because of your need, Doug, God blew the whole service up. You ruined our service today. Everything we had planned is messed up. Amen. But I love God's mess ups. They're better than our plans. Amen. So, but I sent you this outline because there's seven different manifestations of the I Am in the Gospel of John. And there's 7 days in the week. Go figure. So you could actually look at these different things from the notes. And all I did, all my notes are scripture. They're just the scripture of where God said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And I'm just going to hit a couple of them this morning. But I believe that more than anything, God wants you to get with him this week. How many are dissatisfied with your relationship in prayer and in fellowship with the Almighty God? You know, in fact, I would say if you're satisfied, I pray you get dissatisfied. I pray that you get hungrier. And God is trying to bring his people close to him because he wants to speak to us. And so we find in the Old Testament when God first revealed himself to the Israelites through Moses, he came and we all know the story where Moses was walking through this dry place. He thought he had missed it. He thought that he had missed the call of God because 40 years later he had killed an Egyptian. He kind of took things into his own hands and literally was driven out into the wilderness all by himself. And for 40 years, you know what he did? He scouted out the land for where God was going to bring God's people. There's some of you that have went through a lot of dryness, a lot of hardness, a lot of things that you don't understand. But as you give those things to God, you end up becoming a scout to other people when they go through situations because you've been there. And he knew the terrain. So one day he's walking along and he sees a burning bush. And the thing that fascinated him is the bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. God wants you to burn, but he won't consume you. He wants you on fire, and he gives you the privilege of having his fire burn in you, and you still have life, you still have identity, but now your identity is as a son or a daughter. But you are burning. You are passionate for God. We need to be passionate people. And you know, you might say, well, I'm not that way. I would say that you are that way. God made you to be passionate about him. Why would he tell you to do something that you can't do because of the way he made you? That makes no sense. Thou shalt love the Lord with all. With all. With all of your heart. With all of your mind. With all of your soul. With all of your strength. And so we need to stir ourselves until those things are being kindled in us, but find the balance so that we're not freakish and crazy, and we're way off here or way off there. We need to find that balance. God said in the Old Testament that I showed my ways to Moses, but I showed my acts to the children of Israel. And so there's that relationship that God wants to have with you and I, where he doesn't just show us what he does, and it's not just a bunch of stories, but he wants to actually work with you as a father to show you his ways in every aspect of life. And so when you take the concepts and the principles and the revelations of God on one side of the coin, and you bring in a living, growing relationship on the other side, and you have a God that speaks to you and directs you, you're able to take those principles, those wonderful principles, and properly interpret them and release heaven in situations. We're going to see some of that. In fact, I'm saying all this stuff because as you guys graze around these IMs, you're going to see some revelation. What I did and what I would encourage you to do is to go in and find these IMs. There are all the scripture references there. Go in and read everything before it and everything behind it so you can see what God is talking about and then chew. When I'm preaching, you can just go like this. Okay, we're sheep, we're chewing our cud. Amen. And we're digesting what God is saying to us. So the first I am that I'm going to hit today is where Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. And I know now, because I'm older and I understand this, that when you have food, that food has nutrients in it. And there's a lot of foods that we eat that don't have nutrients in it. But if you want to be a healthy person, you need to find a balance and have the nutrients from that food come into your life. So if you want to be a healthy Christian, you need to understand that God is a God that brings revelation of himself. I forget, was there 7 or 8 names of Jehovah God in the Old Testament? You know, Lori? Was there 12? There's at least 12 manifestations of Jehovah being our provider, Jehovah being our presence. So God is constantly revealing himself to us. And so when Jesus came and John wrote this scripture, he wanted to show, again, that same element where God was saying, through my son, through the I am, I want to show you myself. And when I show you myself, the nutrients of your Christianity will begin to come into your spirit, man, and you will grow in God. How many would like to grow up into God? Amen. How many have felt growing spurts at times in your Christianity? God wants to, again, I remember Josiah would grow sometimes 2 or 3 inches in the summer when he was a teenager. I don't know if he got out into the rain or the sun affected him, but 2 or 3 inches. And some of us have grown to a certain height and we stop. But the Bible tells us that Jesus grew in favor with God and with man, and I believe that favor increases in our life. I've been praying a prayer based on the story of Samson. Lord, let my hair grow. You know what I mean by that? he cut his hair. The Delilah, the sin, the compromise in his life had cut his hair, and he lost his anointing, his sanctification, but his hair began to grow again. Amen? Should I pray for that for you, Wayne? Nope. Let my hair grow. Amen? You're so handsome, you don't need it. But in the Spirit, Lord, I'm praying, God, let my hair grow. Let my sanctification, let my separation, not religiously, but let your hand come into my life so that I love you and I sense your presence and I'm excited and I'm kindled in all who I am as a person, Lord. I want to grow. I want to grow. It's weird that you won't grow. It's a terrible thing to stop, to hit a speed bump and you can't get over it. So in Jesus' name, I push your car. I push you over that speed bump that you can come into another place. I am the bread of the life. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have both seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me, I will give to all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, if you can imagine, every night you always ate just one potato. This is one potato of the seven courses that are going on. We've specialized in certain things, but Jesus is saying here, he's saying, I am the bread of life. And he's not talking about the pitcher of bread. We all got bread. We're going to go home and we're going to eat bread. And if you read the whole context, he's saying that my life, I have food that you don't know about. What did he say his food was? My food, my nutrients, my potato in this situation is to do what my Father tells me to do. When I do what my Father tells me to do, it gives me nutrients. It gives me strength. So you can get real legalistic and you can go knock on doors and you can do all these works going about establishing your own righteousness, but still miss the bread of life. The bread of life is part of a seven-course meal of the full I Am. You want to serve God. You're always looking for the moment in a tough situation and in a good situation. All day long, after you have spent that time with Christ in the morning, and you said, today, Lord, give me my daily bread, you look for him, and you're constantly tuning in every situation, stopping, saying, Lord, what is this about? What would you have me say in this moment? Well, Dan, I do that, nothing happens. Maybe you're tuned to a different frequency. Maybe you're so filled with your own opinion, God can't even talk to you. Maybe you know too much that you can't know what you need to know. Hello, hello. Let me say that backwards. Maybe you know too much so that you cannot know what you're supposed to know. The Pharisees knew so much about the law that they missed the Christ because he didn't fit in to their mind that was already filled with a prejudgment mentality. Amen? The second I am, so in other words, God reveals himself as we walk with him. That's when the gifts of the Spirit pop, like this morning. Just walking with Jesus this week, Doug and his girlfriend, I don't know her name, so it was Jennifer. Doug and his girlfriend came up to me, and here they are with the suspenders and the whole thing, with a need that broke open our service. Isn't that cool? I like that stuff. So Jesus said in the second I am the light of the world. This I found extremely interesting. Do you know where he said that? He said that after the prostitute or the woman caught in adultery by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There was old Sadducees and young Sadducees and old Pharisees and young Pharisees. And they brought this woman. They said, we caught her. It was in the morning. He went back to church to teach. And apparently the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew who this woman was, knew what she was doing, and left it alone until they could use it for their own clever little trick. Isn't it awful when religion kills people? When religion is so unmerciful, it's like they can't see. Jesus said, after she was brought to him, and they said, you know, the law says. that she should be stoned. But what do you say? Knowing, revealing their hearts that they knew that this Jesus was a Jesus of mercy, and they have no part with it. They're so filled with their attitude towards this woman that they can't see God came to save that woman. Sometimes we're so filled with an attitude towards someone, even a brother or a sister, or a person that really stands out as a sinner in our community, that we're so filled with judgment, they deserve what they got. The reason they're like that is because they're a drug addict or an alcoholic or because of their family line or blah, 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 blah. And so we read the riot act of what we see. And Jesus says in that situation, you guys are blind as bats. You can't even see why the law comes. The law did not come to destroy people, but to bring them to a place of brokenness so that I, the mercy and the truth, could bring life to them. Woman, where are your accusers? I have none, Lord. I don't accuse you either. Get up and now don't sin anymore. Move from this point into life. How many have been there? Maybe you weren't caught in the very act, but you were caught in the very act of being a sinner. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory that was meant to be in our life. He said, I am the light of the world. If you walk with me, when you get in, let me give you some interpretation. If you walk with me and you get into a situation where somebody really irritates you, and your mind is filled with irritation, understand, I want to turn a light on and stop being so self-centered. Why are you involved with this person? What would Christ say and what would Christ do? And you don't make it up. How many have had God do something miraculous more than once in their life? Have you noticed that He didn't do it the same way twice? God never does anything the same. And so one day, you know, you bring a woman caught in adultery and he writes in the sand. The next time he spits into the dirt and rubs it into their eye. And the next time he sends the person away to go wash and doesn't even reveal himself. And I mean, on and on it goes. Our God is a diverse and creative God. Every moment He can share another little principle with you. I am the light. The I am is the light. The I am is the light this morning as we're worshiping and we can't break through because all we can think about is Syracuse lost. You know, if we thought, if Syracuse would have won, you might have said, oh, glory to God. I mean, just, be, if, but they're two different. I've been told not to listen to you. They're two different mindsets, and neither one of them are the mindset of worship. You don't worship God because Syracuse wins or loses, and you don't worship God because finally I got this thing paid off, or finally this worked out. You worship God because He is God. First principle the I Am taught us about prayer. Say when you pray, Our Father, You are in heaven. Your name is holy. There is nothing holier than You. There is nothing I will bow down to. There's nothing that should push my buttons more than You, Father. You are deserving of every moment of my day. And You let the Holy Spirit take you through this prayer of just setting yourself to today, Lord, I will not worship my emotions. I will not worship my situations. And I'll tell you, you need to do that every day because it runs out about 5 o'clock at night. Amen? You got to reset. And you know what? I actually believe God designed it that way. He designed you to absolutely to be dependent on Him, and you're going to need daily bread. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. As you serve me, it brings nutrients to you. I am the light. Make sure you're not so filled with your own opinion about people and situations that you can't hear the voice of Jesus. Because Jesus said, also, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep hear me. And he's not speaking religiously. He interprets scriptures different than you. It's amazing when you can read a scripture and you can emphasize, even with an attitude, like the way you say something, like, "Hi, Joanne," or "Hi, Joanne," just how you say certain things, you can change the whole meaning of the same thing. So sometimes, in fact, all times, Jesus said, "Listen, I am the light. If you confess," remember he healed another man that was blind, and he said, "I have come that those that think they see would know that they don't see, and that I would heal them. And also that those that think they see will not see at all." That's a big challenge, guys. What situation right now has blocked you? Has blocked you from the presence of God? Words, thoughts, reasons, and judgments, hear me, will block you from the presence of God. You need to keep yourself open. That doesn't mean you ignore situations, but you don't allow them to become prisons to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I am the doorway of the sheep. John 10:7, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door or the gate of the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now, I want you to understand, I'm probably sharing one tiny little twinkle off of these scriptures. There's so much more in them. But here's what I thought about. A door, Jesus said there's a door, and that door leads both into the flock, and it also leads the flock out into green pastures. So what I want to talk about today is Jesus said, "I am the doorway," and he says, if you try to come into the kingdom other than any other way but the door, you're a thief and a robber. You're in for your own interest. I can remember about 25 years ago, a man came to me that had been coming to our church, and he said, "You know, Dan, I really like to get to know you. I don't really want to get to know any of those other people, but I want to get to know you, because I'm a superstar. I'm the guy up here." But Jesus said, "Listen, if you're not interested in the kingdom, if you're not interested in becoming a people person, a flock people, a sheepfold, if you're not interested in that kind of life, you can't come through the door. Because my doorway leads you into a greater experience with greater people. And you've got to want to go through that doorway." And the cool thing is that we rub one another the right way. You might think it's the wrong way, but it's really the right way. If somebody identifies something in your life by their personality rubbing you, there's both work in them and work in you. And so I believe that this is so important. In fact, think about this statement. I can't explain it, but are you a self-made man or a self-made woman? In other words, it's just you and God. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think other people, in fact, other people will talk to you and you might push them off, but I've actually learned to invite. I've got three men in my life in three different areas of my life that I've told them, "I want you to talk to me about this area of my life. Because I can't see as far as you can see. You've got similar gifts as me. I want you to speak into my life, and you can offend me if you want to, so I can grow." How open are you to someone coming and talking to you? I'll say honestly, saints, there's some people that I pastor that I've got a word for them, but I can't say it because they won't listen. It's the word of the Lord, but they can't hear it. It doesn't fit. Now, I'm the pastor, but we have brothers and sisters all around us that are always saying things to us. Do we Do we have a great shield that can deflect those things? Or are we willing that to understand by faith, I am the door, the I am, this nutrient says, step into the flock, become part of the flock, span yourself out and let other personalities come into your life. Be a sheep in my sheepfold, because that's a good thing. You're in that circle of protection that God has brought you into. Here's something I'm really excited about. Last week I preached about, I am the resurrection and the life. And I want to tell you, I can still see it. I can see a vision. What we did at the end of the service is we asked people to stand up if there was a dream or something had died or something had been put to bed in their life, and we laid hands on them and we exercised what Jesus said. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and though something can be dead, though you will be dead, I can raise it up with my voice. And so what we did is we rolled away the stone. Anybody roll away the stone last week? Did anybody roll it back there this week? Come on, look at me. Did anybody roll away the stone? You don't even know what I'm talking about. You roll away the stone from Lazarus' grave so that Jesus, he could have rolled away the stones. He's going to raise this guy from the dead. He didn't need us to roll the stone away. We needed to roll the stone away. And so we rolled the stone away, and then Jesus said to Lazarus, in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And what I saw last week, what happened, our service, how many had a good service last week beside Pastor? I enjoyed the service. But at that moment, when we did that, something happened in the atmosphere that I felt. It was like the whole service dropped. And I felt like God said, I stopped it right there. I rolled the stone away. Now, I could have said, you guys were in a bad mood. I could have said a lot of things. But I stopped and I retuned and I said, Lord, what was that? And he showed me a vision of the tomb. And actually, to ask you the question, did you roll the stone away by faith last week and then by unbelief roll it back this week? Just think about this. This is the moment. How many seconds went by before Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and they first saw movement in the grave? You think it was instant? Lazarus, he popped up. This guy's wrapped up. The Bible says he's bound hand and feet. He's doing this. He's still bound, alive in gravecloth. How many of you know that took some time? I don't know how long the ticking's going to go on. But God says, I've rolled the rock away, and I'm going to make sure that you're convinced that you're not going to roll that back. You're going to keep believing, and as you keep believing, the hand of God is going to reach into those things and bring them out. Can you believe that with me? I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Not a concept, a reality. And everybody's broken dream and broken life, and the ultimate reality is when we die and we hear in the Spirit, come, we will raise. We were buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him. So we're in resurrection life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I am the Good Shepherd. I wrote next to each one of these. Let me just go down. And like I said, I would really love it if you're here today and you're not on the email list to give that email to Pam, because I would love to begin to send you my outlines sometimes to send you different things that I think about, because I'm your pastor. Whether you like it or not, I'm your pastor. And he speaks to me during the week, and it's just not me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus and you guys. Anybody home? Amen. Anybody happy out there?
Yes.
God released some joy in this place, amen? We were here at worship practice, and Pam came up. She prophesied. She didn't realize it. Pam Smith came in, and all the worship team is sitting around, and they're all giggling, and she says, boy, there's a lot of happy people in here. And when she said that, see, the first thing that God does when he releases something is he proclaims the truth. And we got happier and happier. I'm happy today. But she released that. She agreed with what God was saying. And so you need to agree yourself with what God's saying. He says, I am the bread of life, and he talks to us about service. I am the light of the world. And he talks to you about, he wants to give you insight. I am the door of the sheepfold. And he's talking to us about fellowship. I am the good shepherd. And he's talking to you about there's a divine protection in your life that you can count on. I am the resurrection and life. Though things be dead, he's the comforter. He wants to speak comfort to you. Even when something seems to be dead, he says, don't bury it, put it in my hands. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that goes back to our emotions again, saints, that God wants wholeness in your body. Come on, he wants you to be happy people. He wants you to be a strong people. He wants you to be psychically sound, not crazy. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is the spirit, the soul, and the body. Then the last thing that I'm going to hit with this one. I am the vine. Listen to this one. I am the point of contact. He says, giving us a parable, we're not wine dressers here. He gives us a parable of a vine that's growing, and he said that what two things happen to a vine. It goes crazy and all kinds of shoots begin to come out that are just sucking life from the vine. He said when that happens, the Father comes in and he cuts them off. How many things are attached to your life that are sucking life from your Christianity? You can't pray because you're too tired because you have to watch the news every night. Or something else that's stopping you. You can't read your Bible because you're not interested. Or you can't witness to people because you're too shy, because you've been hurt too much. How many things are sucking life out of you? Just let the I am come in and say, God, I'm not going to respond to that anymore. I want you to cut that thing off. I want to cut that thing off. I want to cut that thing off. You know what happens? Is the vine, the connection, gets bigger and better. Then the other thing he says is those things that are fruitful in your life, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, and you that are believing today, that are giving your life to Christ today, you are fruitful people. You are talented people. You have gifts and callings that are divine. And there's probably anywhere from 1 to 5 of them, maybe more. I think 5 would make you kind of schizophrenic. But there's good things in your life that even when they don't produce, when they fall down in the mud, you know what Jesus does? He doesn't say, you stupid person, why are you down in the mud? He comes over, he picks it up out of the mud, and he ties it up. He cares for you. He nurtures you until you grow in stature with God and with man. Now, I'm a man, I don't know what I am as far as passionate. I think I'm quite passionate. Maybe you think I'm a little bit over the top. Does anybody think that? Don't raise your hands. I just want to be balanced. I want to be so in love with Jesus that I can't control myself. I always want to hold his hand. I always want to put my arm around him. I want to give him kisses, and I don't care what anybody says. I don't know where you're at. But I want to encourage you, like I said last week, let your emotions kindle something in you that is godly. I want to encourage you, we're a church that is not about just having church. We're about meeting with Christ when we come together, about doing business with him. I fight it too, but maybe it would help you to just come and stand in his presence.